Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Got a double dip tonight. We should give our picks. You were 2-1 on Who Do You Love?
That's right.
I was 3-0 on Who Do You Love? Maybe people should go the other way since as a twofer, we were 5-1.
We're due for some losses.
What have we got? The Saints are 7-point favorites, I believe, over the Texans. I'm trying to lay off that one.
Texans leading here by one. 37 seconds left. Breece drops back, looking under pressure. He throws that ball. It's caught Ted Ginn, and he'll be taken down around the 40-yard line. Three-man rush again. He throws. That ball is caught. Mike Thomas across midfield. Quick throw. That ball is caught. And down on the field is Ted Ginn to the 40-yard line. And the Saints call timeout. And with 2 seconds remaining, it's a long field goal to be 58 yards. Ball spotted on the right hash, 40-yard line. Spot and holder down. The kick is up. It's good! It's good! 58 yards! Will Lutz with the game winner! Saints win it! 30-28!
What do the Broncos land to the Raiders? 3?
It depends on when you got it. Now, of course, AB's gone, so Denver's a full 3-point favorite on the road.
I'm taking the Broncos. It's house money. I say I'm playing some of the house money tonight on the Broncos.
Wrong.
There's nothing like opening night. There's nothing like Monday night football. An arch rival, the Broncos, across the way, and they're traveling white. The Raiders in their silver and black, my man. Third down and 2. Carr drops back into the gun. Jacobs is off to his left. 3 receivers are off to the right. Protection, end zone, diving catch. Touchdown, Raiders! Tyrell Williams. They take the opening kickoff, and they stick it down the Broncos' throat. Pillaging just for fun.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun.
Raiders win their opener. Kansas City, you got next. 24-16, Raiders.
He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Prospered this week again, didn't you?
I had a winning week. Yeah. Threw away a couple $100 last night on the Broncos, but I still come out 1,000 up for week one.
Woo!
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That'll play.
Yeah, that'll work.
That'll play.
Let me see. Do that over 17. Hey, all right.
Crescendo. I need money on it.
Now we're talking a down payment on that new RV.
When are we going to – we haven't talked a lot about this publicly on the air. We've talked about some of this stuff off the air. When are we sharing your RV dreams?
When I buy one, I'll let you know about it. We'll go on a road trip. We'll go up to Ryan Field to watch Northwestern play UNLV. I may go to the game on Saturday.
Really?
I might go. Yeah, Patrick's got his Northwestern purple jersey. That's the color they wear. And we might go. But if we ever go on a road trip in the RV, we could do the show from it.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I found a couple that I'm very, very interested in. But anyway, it was a bad night last night wagering, but a good night for football. I love the bow they put on week one. I thought it was terrific. Alvin Kamara was great. The Texans' comeback to tie the game was dramatic and amazing. And then the Saints win it with one of the greats of all time, doing it with just a few seconds left, setting up his place kicker for a 58-yard field goal that probably would have been good from 65 yards.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was more jealous of the Texans quarterback or the Saints kicker as a Bears fan.
Everything through the eyes of a Bears fan.
Well, the game was awesome. It was the game of the week, Saints-Texans.
And then there's a Kamara angle there, too.
Yeah, the Kamara thing, I just said it earlier jokingly. The Kamara thing does not bother me. I mean, okay. Who knows if Pace would have picked him?
If he would have, Nagy wouldn't have given him the ball anyway. Right. So what's the point of having
him? It's a nice
him?
Footnote on that trade that one of those picks ended up getting traded again that was used for Kamara, but Ryan Pace has shown an ability to hit on mid-round picks. He got Tariq Cohn. He got Eddie Jackson. He's done fine there. Mm-hmm. So the Kamara one does not bother me. Trading up never bothered me. It didn't bother me the day after he did it. Watching Deshaun Watson bothers me because I loved him so much in college and picturing him with this defense. And some people get it, and a lot of people, I think, get it. And a lot of people then come back and say, come on, let it go. It's already happened. I know. I'm trying. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. And, you know, Mitch could go a long way to, if he could be the Eli Manning of this draft class to the Roethlisberger and Rivers of the Eli class, that'd be good. It is possible for all three teams to be happy with their quarterback. Well, the problem is right now two of the three are.
I mean, you see Mitch Trubisky these last couple of years. What in the world wouldn't give you a reason to believe that he could go on the road and win three consecutive playoff games and take his team to a Super Bowl and win the MVP trophy?
I understand. He's not close, man. He is
because that's what Goober Jr. did. That's what little Eli did.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly. I will say that football gave me a nice break from being hyper focused on the Cubs problems.
Right.
And then obviously these West Coast games, you know, the ratings go way down. People are not staying up till midnight, 1 a.m. to watch the conclusion of them. Nico Horner's story was amazing, but now with no football, Cubs get in the win. Horner back. He's in the lineup today hitting eighth. Chris Bryant has returned to the lineup.
How about that?
He is hitting fifth. So, you know, Quintana on the hill. Keep winning, I guess, but I will be honest with you. I have a little bit of a wake me when the wild card game comes.
I totally understand that, and I do too. But I was, you know, in a 3-TV room last night, room for the Cubs and Padres, on one of the smaller monitors, and every time I looked up, little Nico was doing something worth watching, whether it was slapping a ball to right field for his first major league hit or making a really nice play at shortstop on a ball that was hit on a short hop, and he got the force at second base very coolly when it looked like it was a very difficult play. He had a couple more hits. He had a hit to each field last night. He drives in four runs in his big league game debut. And if you could put all of the bad things that have happened to the Cubs aside, and I know it's next to impossible to do it, but if you could just look at that game as an advertisement for why you love sports, and when a kid comes up way before he's expected to and tastes that kind of success and having so much joy along the way, just chirping and talking and being a part of it, and that's what Madden said today on The Score with Lawrence Holmes, is the guy acts like he belongs. I knew that about him in spring training, is what Joe said. And it was a nice story. And it did take me to Moneyball. I don't love Moneyball, but there's some scenes in it I really, really like. And one of them is when Jonah Hill, the assistant to Billy Beane, who's played by Brad Pitt, is showing the fat kid at the minor league level who hits a home run, doesn't know he's homered, and slides into second base. And the shortstop pats him on the fanny and picks him up and says, look, it went over the fence.
Yeah.
You can take your time on this one. And Brad Pitt just kicks back and says, how can you not be romantic about this game? It was just a reminder of how much joy we can derive from sports. Now, the Cubs, I don't think they're even going to get the wild card. I don't think they'll hang on to that number two wild card. But outside of that, that gave me some reason to say thank you, baseball angel, for sitting on my shoulder just for a few at-bats and a few plays in the field last night.
I feel like I'm back with the old Spiegel and Parkin show, romanticizing baseball, babe.
No, yeah.
That's great, and I think you can always find those stories if you look for them in sports. I can give you an example. The fourth preseason game. You know my thoughts on playing guys in preseason, but the fourth preseason game for forever, no one's played that really matters in those games. So for a lot of those guys, it's the last time they'll ever play football. And there was a great tweet from Ross Tucker, who is our teammate here at Entercom and Radio.com Sports, where he said, you know, you should take a moment to remember when you're mocking the fourth preseason game is meaningless, that most of the guys, if not all of the guys on that field, are the best football player in the history of the town they grew up in.
That's likely true for a high percentage of them, yes.
And then for a high percentage of them, it will be the last time they ever put on pads because they're gonna get cut, right? Rosters go from 90 to 53. Most of those guys don't get anywhere. And so they're playing on national TV in an NFL stadium, getting a check. You know, it's not a big check.
Yeah.
Not a ton of people are watching. But you can always romanticize the human element of sports when you think about it on a micro level with what that means to one person.
Yeah. I think from that standpoint, Ross, as a former player, can relate to it a little bit easier. It's difficult for me to romanticize a guy's last preseason game if he's never been a member of a roster or if he's just been a college star. But that statement would be correct. This guy who's going to be doing something very, very different very soon and entering the real world and realizing his dreams are going up in smoke. It doesn't quite turn the lock for me.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying there are plenty of things. The guy who gets picked is Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft. He still gets to say he was drafted into the NFL. There are always those human interest stories. But Nico Horner, first-round pick who the Cubs drafted out of college because they said he could be fast-tracked to the major leagues and he could actually complement this current core, and he's the first kid from his draft class to make the big leagues.
Yeah, and I don't know where he fits next year. They have a shortstop. They don't have one now.
Second base, right?
Probably second base, I'm guessing.
If it's sustainable, hopefully he's the second baseman, but they made a lot of investment in that position, right? Zobrist not working out so well until now. I mean, obviously did earlier, the previous three years. Russell, Descalso, Happ with the position change. So, yeah, hopefully he can solidify the middle of the infield.
Here's the text. I had a feeling. I bet every show had this text today when it got to praising Nico Horner. This Nico cat is going to be the newest white bum that Cubs fans fall in love with.
I mean, sure, it's in play.
Last guy to wear number two for the Cubs, Ryan Terrio.
Very
similar.
We need a
new two.
It is a first-round pick, so there is a higher baseball pedigree to some of the previous bums that Cubs fans have fallen
why
with.
Why shouldn't he follow everybody else, right? No.
Be a star.
Albert Almora, Ian Happ, Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, stop. Plenty of positives around here.
Yeah, you say you take a baseball break, or you enjoyed the NFL so you can get away from baseball. Now you have a whole new set of problems. You have a completely different set of issues. Ones we weren't anticipating all offseason. What a wonderful year this is going to be for our Bears. And maybe it will be, but it sure has been a tough start.
I'm still not, by the way, worried about that. They're going to be competitive. The defense is too good. They're going to win plenty of games off their defense.
But you admit it's in play. Trubisky's never going to be any good.
Yeah, it's in play.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah.
I would not bet on it. But it's absolutely in play. Doomsday scenario is in play.
I hope Matt Nagy will continue to grow. I think it's probably likely the former. The latter, he better be what we think he is as a head coach.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that Nagy will be a very good coach that Bears fans will like for a long, long time. Trubisky still shows flashes to me that makes me think that could have been rust. And the Packers defense is better, and certainly some nerves and feeling the pressure, which is not good at all. But I'm not writing him off, but I'm way more concerned about Trubisky than I am Nagy. You mentioned Joe Maddon with Lawrence earlier today. There was some good stuff in here, both about Horner and the state of this team and their inconsistent play and how he deals with that, trying to be a steadying presence with now only 19 games to go. We just got a short chunk here with Joe with Lawrence, but it's some of the best stuff. You could hear the entire thing at 670thescore.com, but it picks up with that point on inconsistent play.
We've been like way too much like this, though, where we'll play really well, win a couple in a row, or looks like you're in good shape, and then you lose a couple in a row. We gotta get beyond that with about 19 games left or something like that. Now, it was great. Listen, it was great. Kyle was good. Nico provided some energy for us and some big hits. Up and down the line, Schwarber good. Castellanos stays hot. A lot of wonderful things. But, man, we got to somehow figure out how to maintain that method that you saw last night the rest of the season without any hiccups.
With Nico, watching him at the plate yesterday, it's got to be a daunting task. Guy was sitting on his couch. You guys give him the call that he's ready to come to the show to help out. He gets in the lineup, and it wasn't just that he hit the ball, but his approach seemed to be really good. Where does that come from with him, and how do you keep that the same?
That's just who he is. His swing is really grooved for that inside-out approach, similar to Castellanos. And as you watch him play, a lot of the balls he hits should reflect a very similar manner the way Nicklaus hits the ball. BP yesterday, I'm watching this first round, and the first, I don't know, four or five were just line drives to right center. It was a beautiful thing to watch. So when he gets in the game, he doesn't forget that. And the first hit, the little blooper to right field, two strikes. The pitcher, who is a friend of his from college, made some good, Quantrill made some good pitches, but then a little butt out base hit to right because he stayed with his approach. The double down the left, or the triple down the left field line. Again, you see Nicklaus get out in front a little bit and is able to hook the ball and keep it fair, just like Nico did yesterday. And then on top of that, he had a really good day at shortstop. So his is the approach that I really like. I think that's the tried and true approach. That's the one I like to see more young hitters adopt.
It sounds a little bit like going back to, 2015 with you and Javi, where you knew that you had a guy that was going to find his way to the major leagues and could end up helping you.
Good comp. Very good comp. Different in some ways, but good comp. Both have great bat-to-ball skills. Javi does also. Both run well. Both have this... the eyes in the back of their head when they're playing on the bases. Probably from a defensive perspective, Javi a little bit more flair about it, but nevertheless, both of them, I think, really like the spotlight easily. So that's not a bad comp. From the first time I met Javi, I always thought the Cubs were going to be a better team when he's on the field. And Nico, I can't say I had that original thought only because Javi was here, KB was here, et cetera. We have the group that already ascended, but this guy here is going to make his mark, and he's going to be here for a long time.
Talking with Cubs manager Joe Maddon here on The Score, you mentioned Chris Bryant. How has what's been going on with his knee affected him from your perspective?
Well, I mean, what I've noticed is that in the conclusion of his swing sometime, he kind of has to catch his balance where the knee probably just grabs him a little bit. On the bases, he runs hard all the time. It's hard to see it, but then at the conclusion of the play, you'll see it. After a slide trying to get up, you'll see it. Defensively, I haven't really seen it laterally. I think he's moved pretty well. So it's there. There's no question it's there. He's a pretty tough kid. He plays through a lot of maladies. When I watch him in the batter's box, he looks right to me, and that's important because I have my – checkpoints with all the guys regarding what they're supposed to look like in their setup, and the setup looks good. So let's see. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty optimistic he'll play today, and if not, he should by tomorrow. And a part of when a guy is hurting, it's just that moment where you're waiting for it to hurt before it actually does, and it impacts or messes with your focus or concentration because you know if I do this, that's going to happen. So hopefully he gets out there, and when he goes through his swings and he starts running, he doesn't feel it, and then he could just go on and play without that afterthought.
Kyle Schwarber, over the last, 6 weeks or so, has really been on a tear. What's different about him at the plate? What's he doing right?
More of a tension-free swing for me. Better balance, more hands. And that's the best way I could describe it. Less body, more hands, more from fingertips to elbows. Left center has really become his buddy again. He saw the home run last night. So primarily, watch when he takes some swings in the game right now when you're watching on TV. In the conclusion of his swing, he'll be able to finish it and just be able to stand there if he chose to for a minute. His balance has been that good. And when that occurs to me, just taking it backwards, that means your head's been still. Your head's still through the whole process. You're waiting for the ball to get there. You're not going to try to get it. You're staying inside it. You're using your hands. And then the final point is that you do create this balance. I used to have guys just swing and hold their finish, and you get all these five wonderful things occurring without me saying, keep your head still, stay inside the ball, hit the ball with your hands, et cetera. It just automatically occurs. So he's doing that in-game. It's not something he's doing as a drill pre-game, and that's why I think you're seeing a big difference.
That is Joe Maddon with Lawrence Holmes Tuesdays at noon.
Every
on the
Tuesday
score.
At noon, very, very good stuff. Nico Horner, sir, your table is ready. Have a nice big steak dinner or whatever it is you enjoy. He looks like he's 16, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really is a young-looking fella.
He had that, wide eyes and just family was able to make it to the game only an hour away.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Nice, easy win last night for the Cubs. Schwarber goes oppo again.
Killing
left center
the ball.
Field is his friend, as Maddon said today. But did you see Kyle Hendricks? I think it was a double play. Again, it was hit into a double play. It was like they get the force at another base, and then they throw – it took him forever to get to first base. Paul Konerko has run to first base faster than it took Kyle Hendricks to get to first base on that particular play. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm not explaining it very well because I was much more interested in the football game. It's like, man, is that – was he out? Yeah, he was out. And they got the force at second first, but God, he's slow.
Yeah, and you never want the pitcher to run in an all-out sprint.
But don't. Kyle Hendricks, he'll beat you at anything you do, man. He can golf, he can fight you, he can pitch, he can karate. He just can't run to first faster than Boog Powell.
You don't want him to. Don't pull a hammy, man. He's more valuable on the mound. They can't have another injury. Too many injuries. He can put the ball in play and then just lay down if he wants to.
That's true. We saw that movie last September with a pitcher blowing out a hammy.
I want to talk about accountability and how much job security you get after a championship and where they go from here, coming up on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Price deal dwarfs what would have been the largest contract forever for a Red Sox pitcher. Dombrowski, blah, blah, blah. Last season, 18-5 with a 2.45 ERA.
$5 million a year to do radio. New York's number one, Mike Francesa. Good gig, if you can get it. How was the most recent prank, Tanny? Scale of 1 to 10.
I think it's a very small audience that would appreciate it, but I just
but you and I are in it.
Yeah, we definitely are in it.
Okay, we can do a podcast on it after the show. Yes.
The Wire?
No, the prank call, the most
recent. Was it related to The Wire or Sopranos or something that went over, most of our heads?
I think we're just diehard Francesa fans.
Okay.
Or Francesa prank fans.
Yeah, I just love, it's fine art. The give and take of a well-crafted prank call to Francesa just appeals to the most juvenile aspect of your soul.
Yeah.
Because especially when there's a nice long setup and you know it's coming, and then there's the setup, the joke, and then Francesa getting upset afterwards. So I don't know if Mike can play it there. It's right there on the computer if Mike Chen wants to play it. Mike Chen, by the way, is American as you or I, and he's doing a great job today. If he wants to fire that off for us, that'd be great.
Price deal dwarfs what would have been the largest contract forever for a Red Sox pitcher.
The other one. Oh, there it is.
The sour shoes prank call.
The sour shoe. If you got it, Mike, thank you very much.
And now we wait.
Paul in Westchester, what's up, Paul?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing you were. I think the Browns played the Giants on Monday night. If you remember back in 2008 into 2009 when the Giants started the season 5-0 and the Browns beat them. That was like the one Giant loss early in the year. That's probably right, the Browns' last time on Monday night. So I'm looking at the Giants. You said something before. If the Giants' season goes sour,
yeah, that's great. Dennis Yonkers, what's up, Dennis? You can do better than that guy, I'm sure.
That's a tough follow, Mike. Haven't spoken in a while.
God, I love that. Sour Shoes is undefeated.
If more callers would break into sound effects like that, I would be more inclined to suggest we take more calls.
If the Giants season goes sour,
that works for me.
I like it too.
That's funny.
You referenced an article earlier today with John Morosi about the Red Sox opening, hence Dombrowski, blah, 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 when he got fired by the Red Sox.
17 potential candidates written about some columnist on MLB.com. I'm not familiar with the guy. It doesn't matter. No one knows who he is anyway. But 17 names written about. Jason McLeod is among them, and Theo Epstein also is among them. Now, he has 2 years remaining on a deal.
Yeah,
right?
Almost positive he's locked up through the 2021 core.
Okay. I'd be curious to know if he's a player in that thing, if the Red Sox would approach the Cubs about sort of deal.
Sullivan wrote today in the Trib, you know, that you could probably rule out Theo and Jed, but that, you know, their underlings, you know, the Scott Harris's, Jason McLeods of the world would potentially have some interest there because so many of the front office guys were either recommended by the Red Sox or have ties to that organization directly.
Because he has talked about his wanderlust in the past, he's been public about that. I don't close the possibility of this being something.
He's talked about how leadership change every 10 years is a good idea in general. And he also, he tried to correct some of the mistakes in Boston when he set up the power structure in Chicago, because it didn't end as well as it should have for Theo in Boston as the guy who ended
curse. There was a ton of finger pointing and
infighting, leaked sources, all that sort of thing. So he tried to
chicken and beer and lots of Vicodin too.
Yeah, and so he just, I guess I'd be surprised if he's already slayed that dragon. Like, what more does Theo Epstein have to prove to the Boston Red Sox? Yeah, you
totally agree with that, or the Cubs, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, but I mean, he's...
Yeah, my thought has been, if he does something different after the Cubs, it probably won't be baseball, but I have no idea how much he enjoyed living on the East Coast versus here in the Midwest. I have no idea how frustrated he is by having to deal with Joe Ricketts' email nonsense in the offseason, because you know how he didn't mince words publicly over that type of behavior.
He does not align politically with his ownership group.
So
they're all on the record with that.
I wonder if, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't dismiss it summarily.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. And also, he's under contract, so it would be you got to get out of the contract or give up assets to go back there. I wouldn't worry about that. My guess is he sees this one through, and he sees this contract through, and he's no dummy. Like, he aligned himself with that core that won the World Series, and finding the next great Cubs team, as he worded it when he was on with Dan and Connor last week, that might end up being Jed Hoyer's job. Jed has said on these airwaves when I've asked him, that, you know, he's thrilled with his role, his title. He's the general manager of the Cubs. But, of course, he at some point has aspirations of having the final call stop with him. And I think, as long as everything keeps going according to plan, and if this is the low point year in their run, I assume that Jed Hoyer will just replace Theo Epstein and run the Cubs in two or 3 years.
Yeah, that's how I've kind of looked at it. And when I think about Epstein's next challenge, I don't see him being the architect of a baseball team. He did the GM thing. Now he's done the team president thing and redid the neighborhood and the farm system and the campus out in Mesa. It's a job that's different from those jobs. It's being a commissioner. You've suggested he should go run the DNC.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
that probably is something that would interest him.
I mean, I know that there's been contact, not about running the DNC. I can't at all report that. But I know that people within the Democratic Party have considered whether or not he would run for office and gauged his interest in those types of things. I could see him heading up an ownership group and trying to change the game fundamentally there, because he's not – I mean, listen, he could be the commissioner. But Rob Manfred is not giving up that title anytime soon, so that job is not available. But, yeah, the only things that he has left to do that he could do in baseball would be own a team or run the league, right?
Yeah.
So I would imagine he might explore an ownership group. I could see that as a possibility. But I'd be floored if he ever ran another team, but I would be absolutely floored if he ran the Red Sox.
It seems lateral.
Correct.
And I don't think that's how he thinks. I may be wrong, but I don't know the guy.
And what team, you know, he did it in Boston, and you do it at Fenway, you do it at Wrigley. What challenge is that uniquely appealing to you that you could go do it again? Like, would it be appealing to him to go get the Cincinnati Reds a title? I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I wouldn't imagine that's how he would approach it.
You live in Boston, you live in Chicago, and then Cincinnati's next? Ooh,
that's
a colossal downgrade in lifestyle.
He's always dealt with high resources. I don't think he would want to do the Billy Beane thing and go see if he could win in Tampa or Milwaukee.
Suspect not.
You know, I would just be surprised. The other part of this that I do think is interesting, and I know that there were bad contracts, and John Morosi was on earlier and laid out some of the financial problems that the Red Sox have, and they're underperforming and all of that. But they're not terrible. They were like 10 games under 500 when they made the news. What do you think that – how would you compare that? Because Kenny Williams, job for life. Reinsdorf employees, jobs for life. Joe Maddon doesn't have a job for life, but it does feel like Theo does. It does feel to me anyway – that Theo and Jed, given that they delivered Tom Ricketts and Cubs fans a title, if he wanted to sign another 10-year contract, it wouldn't shock me if the Ricketts family was open to it. Do you think there is a lack of accountability, or what should the amount of accountability be once you deliver a championship for a team? How much job security does that buy you?
That's a great question. I'm probably not the best person to ask in this regard, because so much of it is financial, too. So much of his job responsibility has to do with the cash register there. And not necessarily, and sports fans don't like hearing this, they're not necessarily always the same goals of the management team aren't always about winning.
Right, sometimes it's win if you can hit the profit margin.
Yeah, just make money. And we got one ownership group in town that's doing a hell of a job with that, and hasn't been a winner in a long, long time.
Yeah, what do you think? The other thing that's interesting to me about Theo, people always throw out he could run a different sport. I've talked to him about this. I believe that was that was public. Yeah,
You want to think about it for a sec?
Well, that was a brain fart. I apologize, but yeah, the NFL is not. He's talked about it publicly. No, he has. It's not the NFL. People say run the Patriots. Go run an NFL team. He doesn't find it as interesting or as challenging, because it's, quote-unquote,
right,
just a 53-man roster. There is no single A, double A, triple A, minor. You know, he doesn't find it as interesting. There's a salary cap. It's very rigid. So there's less involvement. Now, obviously, a GM in football has power, but compared to a president of a baseball team, Theo scouts more people, employs more people, runs not a bigger business, but you know, a plenty big business.
Yeah.
He will not go to the NFL.
Well, unless he succeeds Roger Goodell as commissioner. That would be a possibility.
Okay, well that's a $40 million a year job.
Yes, yeah. It is. I think Goody's making better than that even. I mean, it's colossal.
Because it's percentage of revenue based, right? I think there's a tie-in his salary to the percentage.
I thought I remembered it was like mid-40s, and this was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, he would take that. I would imagine he would take
that. That would work.
Yeah, he would take that job.
Could take all the booing people can dish out for that fee, right?
Yeah, I would think. I have a question, by the way. Texter writes in and said, "Hey, guys, I love listening to you, but leave politics out of sports. No one wants to hear crap about politics on a sports station." I'm just curious. Is saying that Theo Epstein has been like the Democratic Party or could run the DNC, is that a political take? We know where he leans politically.
No.
We know he's a good public speaker.
No, that wasn't a political take.
Are you
saw 773's text, too. I was going to get to him off the air.
No, you can't stray remotely from sports, guys. It's got to be strictly sports. Don't even bring up politics.
And sports people should only want to work in sports and nothing more. It's the only thing that's important.
So you can't even say the word Democrat on the radio?
No, not on this station.
Yeah, right. I said Democratic National Committee. Like, that's so weird. We're in that place that triggers people.
So what?
Come on.
They come here. They come here to escape politics.
And
okay?
I get that.
Don't do politics. We do other things away from sports. I've always called it the toy department. We'll talk movies, food, music,
gambling,
relationships,
TV.
Yeah, those sort of things, but not politics. It's not a political take. It's such a weird thing.
So if they were trolling me, congratulations, you were successful. But that is just, we can't be that sensitive. I'm not going to allow it. It's just too stupid.
That's a guy that does not want a pitch lab at the DNC, I'll tell you that.
That's exactly right. I will say, though, I could be guilty of not Reinsdorfian level of job security, but Theo Epstein delivering a title to Cubs fans, if they came out and said 10 more years of Theo, I'd have no problem with it. I'm not convinced that there's anyone better for that job that they could get. Is he the best executive in baseball? Maybe you got two guys over him right now, fine. One of them isn't available. Like, so he's as good as you could get. So I give him job security for life for winning that title.
He said himself that, what is it, you know, professionally someone can only be in one place for 10 years.
Yeah, he believes in a leadership change about every 10 years because he thinks like the messaging and the voice goes stale. That was in the baseball book that Verducci wrote after the World Series. He's just a believer in that type of organizational change so that people don't get stale.
You were right on Roger Goodell's payday. In late 17, he agreed to a 5-year deal with the NFL running through 2023, a deal that would pay him $200 million in base salary.
Right. And then I think there's a bonus that is tied to revenue. Yeah. That there's a percentage that's not public.
So he's making at least $50 million a year, $60
Good work
million.
If you can get it, guys.
Plus, whenever somebody comes up with an idea for a movie about the NFL draft, he doesn't do that for free. I mean, shaking hands with Anthony Molina, do you think Goody did that for nothing? Hell no, he didn't.
Get a piece of that on both ends? Like, you know, to be himself, that's one check, and then the NFL check from that movie.
It's an
that's
incredible
a great
gig.
Question.
Maybe Patrick Sane is Spree knows.
Patrick Saint Esprit.
Do you think the Roger Goodell, by the way, that is an unbelievable thing. When you say those numbers, more than any quarterback, more than any player, but those numbers, he was just the guy at the right time.
Yeah.
The television rights for live sports exploded everywhere. So he negotiated record-setting TV deals for the NFL. So would you.
He's the CEO of the most powerful league in American sports and a league that has become global. Sorry about that. I didn't know I still had the ringer on.
Oh,
here.
You're fine.
I don't need to have one.
Somebody answer that damn phone?
Misty Mountain Hop breaking out in the middle of a conversation about the commissioner. Yeah, anybody take it. He earns that money. He's a CEO of pretty important. They own a day of the week. We learned in the movie Concussion.
I know, but they owned that day of the week before Roger Goodell got there, and the revenues would grow with or without him. Like, I don't know what he is uniquely great at.
I don't either. Hugging first round draft picks. He's very good at that.
Adam Silver seems so
sincere.
Adam Silver's dap game is pretty good during the NBA draft. He's got all the handshakes down. We'll bring in Joe Ostrowski next on The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
I hear the people talk.
And we would not want to. This hour on The Score was brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors. Transform your home with the beauty and craftsmanship of Marvin Windows and Doors.
I drive home yesterday, Danny, after the show. Of course, Mully and Hall weren't enough. Bernstein and McKnight weren't enough. Lawrence, not enough. We talked 4 hours, and I'm getting Joe on my way home when he says, those of you saying the Bears have a benefit because Denver's playing tonight and the Bears are sitting resting. Stop yourself in Doug Buffone ease. I'm saying it, and I'm still saying it. I'm sticking to my story, and I get your point. Which is what?
Well, that was before I saw the Broncos play last night also. My goodness.
Change of heart after that?
Did they touch Carr all night? The great Broncos defense? Those pass rushers? I didn't see it happen.
The great Vic Fangio. How will the Bears survive without him?
I am surprised to see that the Bears are 3-point road favorites now.
It's keep going up, man. It's like started at 2 today. They're now betting. It's up to 3. I saw it at 2.5 2 hours ago. It
really
keeps climbing.
Well, I didn't realize that it hit 3. I mean, there is some serious recency bias there, though, right? Because the Broncos were bad on the most recent nationally televised
game. Right, everybody's forgotten about the stink fest they watched Thursday.
That's what I was saying earlier today. So what bettors do in week 2 is you fade the overreactions. Oh, my gosh, Patriots went from 9.5. Now they're 18.5 point favorites, so a lot of people will fade that. But how do you fade the overreactions when both teams stunk out loud in front of the country?
God. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Do you know offhand, because I'm sure it'll come out by the time the games go off, do you know offhand what home teams that are 0-1 do in week 2? Because I know they are very successful.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know what the trends are. Like, to me, more so than altitude or rest, it's
desperation.
It's desperation. Exactly. Yeah. And then you get rallied by being at home in that desperate spot. It's why I like Atlanta this week, but I like Atlanta every week, and Atlanta screws me. So.
I hear you. What is it? 0-2 teams, 90% of them don't make the playoffs.
Exactly.
There were a couple that it worked out last year, but typically that's the case. You dig yourself that hole. Good luck finding 10 wins on the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, it's really tough to do. I also enjoyed on your Twitter page when you listed all of the Bears quarterbacks that have been drafted, or all of the quarterbacks that have been drafted in the first round post Mitch Trubisky with the 17, 18, and 19 draft, and asking how many of them would you still take Mitch over? How did you answer the question?
It's about 4 or 5.
So Daniel Jones, Haskins.
Mm-hmm. And you have plenty of time to change your mind on Daniel Jones.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you start with the two.
Let him take a snap or two.
You start with okay. The two that were drafted after
Trubisky.
Rather have
him too.
The same year. You start with those two. I definitely have Darnold on the list.
That you would take over him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I would take Darnold.
Yeah,
you take, you're liking, so Danny likes him too. Not so sure yet. What do you like about him?
I'm going back to the college years, what I've seen from him. He played at a higher level, and I've just seen more consistency, especially in the second half last year, than I've seen out of Trubisky. One of my issues with Mitch is obviously uneven preseason, uneven last year, but when he goes on the road, he's had those great games, but most of them have been at Soldier Field, aside from the Miami game, which they ended up losing, but I think 4 of his 6 starts last year on the road, quarterback ratings in the 70s. He hasn't impressed yet. I mean, it's year 3. Yeah. We're giving him this year.
Give him this year.
Would you say Lamar Jackson?
I'm not ready yet.
The only reason I wouldn't definitively say it, and I like Lamar Jackson than most, is because that Trubisky does at least profile out to be a guy who can play 10 years, whereas Lamar Jackson, I think because of the mobility, and Mitch has some, but Lamar Jackson is, you know, 99 in Madden for the mobility, you do worry about his durability long term.
So do you think what the Ravens did the other day is going to be something different from what, because he only ran 3 times.
I assume he's going to run much more than that.
They
didn't need to expose him to much. They were getting everything they wanted. Like if you're getting 20 yards an attempt like they were for a while there, yeah. No need to run.
Yeah, they played a half. I mean, the game was over very early.
Yeah.
I jumped in game. I got under 71.5, and that barely hit. I'm sweating that in the last drive of the game.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what was. What am I doing?
We
that'll do it.
Failed to follow up. You know, all the Dolphins want out, and we were looking at their roster earlier. We couldn't think which Dolphins do you want. Which
is Minka there a guy? Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, we got Minka Fitzpatrick, but we didn't even realize this. Jamarcus Webb is earning a check for the Miami Dolphins. Let's get him back here.
I missed that.
That's the funny thing. You look at the
roster. Jamarcus Webb is still in the league.
It's a pass. I'll pass. Pass at all of it. Jordan Mills signed today with Arizona.
Attaboy.
How are you spending your time until Cubs baseball?
We'll talk a little bit about Nico Horner night last night. That was a lot of fun. And just sometimes when we miss as fans, get excited about a debut, you get a jersey. We'll talk about the misses. I was thinking about Starlin Castro, a miss 9 years ago. We got excited after his debut. Talk a little bit about that. And when Theo Epstein's going to the Red Sox.
Oh, stop. Stop. It's not happening.
You don't believe that,
do you?
No. I dismissed it immediately.
Okay. 2020.
But then I started...
Yeah. Thinking about
he said 10 years he was going to be here.
Why would he go back? Why would he climb a mountain already climbed?
Fair question.
2020 is going to be a terrible year for you, Danny. Epstein's going back to Boston, and Matt Nagy's going to prove he's dumb.
No. Don't even.
What will you do? You won't have a show, man.
Don't say it. I'll be wrong. Well, I'll be mocked a lot.
Well, you can be happy this year because Watson's going to be the MVP. So,
God, does he look good.
But he loves pace too. Rushmore.
Listen, I root for Deshaun Watson. I always will, man. I like being right. I said he should have been number one overall. So if Deshaun Watson wins the MVP, I'll just spin that into me being right, not Ryan Pace being wrong.
Take last year's MVP.
I would too, of course, of course. But see that no one knew that. Like it, passing on Pat Mahomes when no Big 12 quarterback had ever been successful in the NFL and the gimmicky offense, it hadn't completely took shape yet. I don't think a lot of teams saw that coming. Obviously, Andy Reid did, but I don't think you kill yourself for passing on Pat Mahomes. Like you're not that upset about it, but just the Watson thing, he was the top guy.
Yep,
he was the top guy.
MLB Network's John Morosi was part of the mix today. We also were joined by Hub Arkish from our family and Mike Pereira, an official's official, good old number 77 when he was wearing the white hat with Fox Sports. He also was part of the mix.
Fun show today. Thank you to Studsy and Mike Chen and Chris Tannehill. Doing great work as always.
How much Chinese can you speak? Just a little bit? I don't think you're fluent to it, are you? No, he's not. He's as American as you and I are, but...
But it's the best. But
Shep's going to love working with him this coming January after Who Do You Love?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I'm not taking any sort of victory lap.
That's not fair because his body clock will be adjusted to that anyway.
That's true.
Very
so
true.
That's really unfair to us.
Oh, you think it'll work our show too?
All right. So for Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Joe Ostrowski's coming up next. This is The Score.
That was unbecoming. That was childish, unprofessional. Happy that it didn't result in any physical injury for anybody else.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.